Okay, let's dive into Luke 21. So with this, what could possibly be worse than God's temple being destroyed, than God's people losing a place to meet with their God? What could possibly be worse than that one place where God was going to gather the whole world? Put yourself back in sort of the first century experience of the religion of God's historic people. What could be worse than that place, the temple, that where God was going to gather the whole world around him to engage with him, to worship him, for that place to be smashed to smithereens and destroyed once and for all? What could possibly be worse than God's temple being about to be destroyed? Which, if you know your history, is exactly what did happen. It was destroyed in the year AD 70 when the Roman army crushed what we now call the First Jewish Revolt, and they burned Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple itself. The words of Jesus in Luke 21 came true just a few short decades after he predicted it, after he said it was going to happen in advance. And if you've got your Bible there, I'm just going to read a little bit from Luke chapter 21 from verse 5. Because in that context, it hadn't happened yet, right? Jesus was still predicting it. Luke 21, verse 5, some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." Right? This is terrible. This is like the worst possible. This is a disaster. We're going to lose our God from our lives. It's like the end of the world. And so you keep reading verse 7. "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they're about to take place?" So this is where we are in Luke's gospel up to chapter 21. Today being a Lord's Supper service, and with the kids all in with us together, we have two mini sermons all about King Jesus. So that's what we're going to be doing this morning. In just a few moments, we'll be diving into the we'll have a Bible reading, and we'll dive into the first mini sermon, and then after that there'll be another Bible reading and a song, and then the second mini sermon. So that's where we're headed right now for this teaching time. But before we get to the first of those and to all of the good news, I just want us to very quickly think about what's in front of us here. The worst news ever, the baddest thing that could possibly happen. Could we start with that question? What would be the very worst thing? Don't call it out. Just imagine in your own mind. What would be the very worst thing in all of our world? I wonder if you can imagine that. The absolute worst, baddest, saddest, most crushing thing. The worst thing in all of our world. And I don't want us to, you know, plunge us into tears and depression or whatever, but maybe people we love when they die. That's always very sad. It happens from time to time. Or close friends moving away to another place and we don't know if we're going to see them again. That's a very sad thing. Are they the saddest, worst thing? Maybe mum and dad breaking up from their marriage. That's incredibly hard. And you can survive it. Like, you'll be okay, but it's always terribly sad as you go through it. Maybe missing out, as in missing out when everyone else gets that thing that you really want, because missing out because you're too sick, or because you're not good enough at that thing, or because no one loves you in that particular way. Maybe long, slow, painful, never getting better sickness. What's the saddest and the baddest thing? Maybe messed up mental health, either yours or someone that you love very dearly. That can seem like the worstest thing, can't it? Or it could be grandpa's dementia or mum's injury that makes her brain not work properly anymore. Are those some of the worst possible things in the whole wide world? Maybe you thought of some other ones. Folks, here's the thing. There is something far worse than any of those things that we've talked about right now. Worse than a ruined temple, worse than death or losing our loved ones, worse than busted bodies and messed up heads that don't work quite right, worse than feeling alone. According to Jesus in Luke 21, the worst thing in all the world is to meet King Jesus unless you're already in his kingdom. The coming kingdom of Jesus is great news, fantastic news actually, for you, for us, if we're in it, if we're in God's kingdom, but it is the worst news in all the world if you're not. Do you remember verse 7? They were asking Jesus, when will this happen? Talking about the temple. How can we know that it's coming so that we can get ready? What's the signs that it's going to be coming? Well, in Luke 21, King Jesus teaches us how to turn the worst day in all the world into the best day ever, because he tells us, no matter what, no matter how bad things get, even if worst comes to worst, you can be part of God's kingdom and ready to meet King Jesus. And that can be the best day and the beginning of all the best days into the future. So we've got two mini sermons. Let's pray, and then we'll hear from God's word, and we'll check it out in more detail. So please join me in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we all get worried about bad things and sad things happening from time to time, and we all have bad things and sad things happen in our lives. And Father God, we know that you care very much about us as your very own children. We know that you're in control, and we know that you love us. And so would you please comfort us today with the good news of Jesus, the good news of Jesus coming back, no matter how bad things get in this life. And would you please help us to get ready for Jesus coming back so it can be a day that we look forward to and even long for and can't wait for. Help us please by your word. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Have you ever made such a fuss over something that's really not that important, but so much of a fuss that you kind of mess up the thing that actually matters? So let me give you an example. Like when you're going to the shops to get some yummy food with mum or with dad or maybe even with auntie or uncle, and you're there, that mum's promised you a treat, and you're so looking forward to the yummy food from the shop, and then you argue and you fight before you even get out of the driveway. You argue and you fight about which seat you get to sit in the car on the way to the shop to get the yummy thing. So you argue about you're grumpy and you're teary and you act like it's the biggest thing in the world. You don't want to sit. Which one's your favorite seat, I wonder? You don't want to sit in the middle seat. You want to sit in the front seat, or what if you're a big enough girl or boy to do that. That is the seat that you want to sit in. That is the seat that you have to sit in. You should be able to. Why does she? I don't get to. Anyway, all of that kind of thing. And then it just becomes, it becomes your everything. It makes everything sad and grumpy. You get to the shops and you eat your donut with a frown on your face and you can't barely even taste it because you're still grumpy about having to sit in the middle seat in the back of the car on the way there. Doesn't taste any good. You won't even let yourself be happy about it. Like 5 minutes ago, this donut was going to be the best thing in the world ever. This was going to be the best trip ever. Maybe if you don't like donuts. Maybe it was lollies that you were looking forward to and now they don't even taste very good. Or maybe it was burgers. You're going to have burgers for lunch. And now you don't even care about cheeseburgers. What's happened to your life if you don't care about cheeseburgers? Have you ever done something like that? Make such a big deal out of the little thing that it has ruined the big thing. We make huge things out of stuff that doesn't matter, and it means we risk missing the thing that really does matter. For our first point, Jesus wants his disciples to remember, no matter what you're worked up about, scared about, terrified about, anxious or excited, the biggest thing for the whole wide world is not the seat that you get to sit in. It's not even the cheeseburgers and the lollies and the bubble tea. Our first point, King Jesus will one day come for the whole world. That's the biggest thing, that Jesus is coming back. That is bigger than all of the biggest things that we've got going on in our lives. Jesus will one day come for the whole world. So live your life like he's coming home to you. Jesus wants us to live our lives like we're already looking forward to it, to him coming back, not like we hope it never happens, not like we've forgotten that it ever will happen and we're too busy with other things. He wants us to live like him coming back is the biggest thing. If you know that you're going to get a cheeseburger, then you don't need to fight over which seat you're sitting in for the two-minute car trip to get to McDonald's. If you know you're going to get a bubble tea, then even if you're in the worst seat in the whole car, it's not going to last forever. Don't lose your mind about the car seat. Otherwise, you won't be ready to enjoy the bubble tea. That's the kind of idea. Can we just quickly step through the passage if you've still got Luke 21 open in front of you? Because Jesus gives us one comfort, I think, and two tests. One comfort and two tests. Firstly, the comfort. It's in verses 32 and 33. Verses 32 and 33. And the comfort is this, because remember, they're all terrified about the temple. Like that's the, he's just told them the temple's going to be destroyed. Their minds are captivated by that. They're losing their minds about that. We're going to lose the temple. It's the end of the world. It's the worst thing that's ever happened or could ever happen. And for those who know Luke 21 pretty well, you know that verse 32 is super contentious to interpret. But I think Jesus is simply saying something like this. All these things about the temple, they're going to happen within your lifetime. Scary, crazy, pray and avoid it. Pray that you escape and get out. It's going to be absolutely horrible. But do you know what? Then it will be over. And it is actually not going to be the end of the world. There is still more to come. Here's the comfort. You've got to keep trusting my words. You've got to keep clinging on for my kingdom. It's coming. You're going to be okay. Let's read together Luke 21, verse 32. Verse 32. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened, which I'm saying is referring to the temple and everything. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No matter how horrible it gets, you can trust the words of King Jesus. You can cling to them. You can rely on him. Know that he will carry us through the brutal experience that you are currently experiencing. He will carry you through. It's not the end of the world. Not yet. So first there was a comfort. What did I say? Then there are two tests. First test, you can know if the coming of King Jesus is the biggest thing in your life, really. First test, if he has your heart. Let's keep reading in verse 34. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with, there's a funny word, carousing. That means kind of like doing stuff that you're going to regret later because you were too drunk to make better decisions. Carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. So let me read the whole sentence again without the explanation. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day, as in the day of Jesus coming back, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Right, which sounds ominous and it sounds scary, like the coming of King Jesus is this horrible, scary thing. But hang on a second. It's not a scary thing if he has your heart already, right? So some of us, we get so anxious about work and the troubles that we've got at work at the moment, or we get so anxious about love and it's tearing up our hearts and occupying our minds all the time, or so anxious about money. And, you know, when Marcus mentions like 50 bucks a month, I just can't do it. I'm already like, it's so stretched thin already. And by the way, if that's you, totally okay. We're not into squeezing people out of their money here. Or we get so anxious about our grades at school. And I don't think I'm going to get the grade that I need and then I won't be able to get into. And so we go and hide away. We go and hide away. What do you hide away in? We hide away in maybe our booze or girls or more socially acceptable drugs like games and books or soul-sucking social media or whatever it happens to be. But we've failed the test. Our hearts are weighed down, is how it describes it. Why? Because honestly, the biggest things in our entire world isn't the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. It might be a backwards way of saying it, but hope in Jesus is actually a relief for a heavy heart. Looking forward to the return of Christ is actually a relief for a heavy heart. What our heavy-laden hearts need is the hope that he will one day come for the whole world. I wonder if that you could just kind of give yourself permission to let that lift your perspective, broaden your perspective and lift your heart a little bit when you're stuck or in a slump. And there's just so little hope that things are going to get better. They will get better. Test number two. So the first one was for our hearts. Test number two is in verse 36. It's a test for our eyes. Verse 36, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. I wonder if you just heard how I read that. I think it's a contrast. Yes, watch and pray that you may be able to escape what's about to happen with the temple destruction, the ruin of Jerusalem, and all of the rest of the horrors of war. Absolutely. But way more important, pray and live and grieve and rejoice like Jesus is coming back. And one day you'll get to stand with him. Is Jesus the one that you're mostly watching for? Is he the biggest thing in your world? We burn so much energy trying to escape, trying to avoid failing at school, being embarrassed in front of our colleagues, being found out about that embarrassing thing that we hope no one finds out about. And that's where our eyes are. Are we even watching for Jesus? Friends, take heart in this. When Jesus comes back, how much of that stuff's going to actually matter? C.T. Studd once put it like this: only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.